Good morning, everybody. Fantastic episode of the Daily Bone Podcast today. We discuss MemeLand's latest announcement and partnership with RuneCoin. We talk about some predictions for next week in the Bitcoin ecosystem, and we talk about whether or not we should worry about the weakness in alts. We really dive deep on the crypto side and talk about different coins that are available. Big shout out to Polygon, the partner for this show, specifically their recent announcement with OKX. Big shout out to Polygon for that announcement. Yeah, check out Polygon on Twitter, OX Polygon. Anyway, hope you enjoy the show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Daily Bone Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto market. We're talking about Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, meme coins, and of course, NFTs. Today, we are going to discuss MemeLand's latest announcement and partnership with RuneCoin. We're going to discuss Rune's predictions for next week. That's on Bitcoin, ladies and gentlemen. And lastly, whether or not we should be worried about the current weakness in the altcoin market. I'll give you a hint. Spoiler alert. You shouldn't, unless you're buying random ass bullshit. Anyway, Clemente, I asked you to pull up a video that got published yesterday. I thought it was particularly funny. Wanted to make sure that the audience that watches on YouTube got a chance to see it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna watch this real quick and listen to it. Check it out. This is
Good morning, haters.
I worked hard to buy that yacht. I worked hard to buy this big ass house. Yet you're out there looking at me from your tiny little apartment and itty bitty couch.
I'm in my Lamborghini heading back from my Malibu session to my Bel Air mansion that the haters will say ain't real.
Anyways.
Bitcoin.
Ah! Oh, you got Pokemon.
Water in my own plants.
Bunny in the back.
All your account is called like Complain Clemente is what they should just call it, the account.
Bitcoin.
I don't know, like you started with it like a shtick and now it's just become you venting. It's gone from you venting about meme coins to you losing.
After further investigation, we have found Nick's wealth.
You can cut it. Yeah, we got this is Puppa, P-U-P-P-A, that made that. Very funny stuff. Wanted to make sure that the YouTube audience got a chance to see it. The video audience got a chance to see it. Made me laugh. Clemente, how'd you feel about the video?
I actually hadn't seen it until just now.
So, really?
I don't know if I liked the facial hair portrayal in the video, but overall, solid production.
It was very accurate.
I think it was less facial hair and more like to show the darkness that you were feeling, similar to the very like music, you know? But Clemente, don't let these guys get to you, dude, because everybody loves a turnaround story. And I think you're already mid-swing on it.
We're getting there, dude. The puppets are real quiet right now. I'll say that.
Taking while they're zagging, baby. Like, oh, 12 to 1, dude. I didn't hear no bell. I didn't hear no fucking bell, dude. I'm still swinging.
You know what I'm saying? Let's go.
Okay.
Well, there you go. And, you know, before we kick things off with a classic Kicks weather report, we are going to give a quick shout out to our partners over at Polygon. After their recent announcement with OKX. So, Easy, you've been following this closely. What do we need to know about the announcement between Polygon and OKX?
Yeah, I think this is actually massive, to be honest. So, Polygon's been working on what's referred to as an ag layer or an aggregation layer, and it's all about scaling environments. So, being able to onboard new users, being able to get a surge in the user base and adoption without hindrance towards the user. So, liquidity, blockchain state and status, so making it kind of be maintained, and the users being able to scale at an exponential rate. So that actually allows for this, for in this case, OKX launching their own layer, which is essentially a blockchain, in this case, what's being referred to as the aggregation layer, and tapping into their 50 million plus users of OKX. And what this is going to do is open up just an insanely smooth operation for a ton of new users. It's a ZK powered L2. So in a sense, ZK rollups make it far easier for people to get onboarded, make gas fees basically obsolete, and allowing just overall people to use a blockchain and abstract the blockchain from the user base. So users won't even know that they're using it. And with OKX launching this, it opens up all of their users to be able to leverage OKX being a massive trading platform for tokens. We're seeing BRC20 volume scale rapidly there and streamline basically all operations on OKX in the most seamless manner, and all powered by Polygon. So I think Polygon's continuing to do something here that's innovative and streamlining this whole mass adoption effort without causing any hindrance to the user base. And that's the biggest thing. If the users can be more or less eliminated from even knowing they're using a blockchain, that's a huge win. And because they're already on OKX, now with the X layer, it's just going to streamline the full process top to bottom. where users don't need to know that they're doing a ton of things, transacting across chains, don't even need to be made aware that they're going across chain, and just making one interface as seamless as possible, making interactions way easier, making cost more efficient, and making users feel like it's more of, quote, a Web 2 or natural exposure to it all. So Polygon's crushing it. I'm excited to see what happens with OKX here. And I think that this Aglair push is one of the biggest pushes that we've seen from any L2 to actually allow for streamlining, onboarding, and new users across the board. So great job by them, and I'm wicked excited to see OKX scale this.
Hell yeah. Awesome. It's been great working with Polygon over a month now. We're in the weeds at this point. A big shout out to Polygon. Make sure you give Polygon a follow at OX Polygon to stay up to date with the latest of
see
what...
See that right there?
Oh, he's rocking a Polygon hat. Love to see it. That's what I'm talking. I mean, you've been you're Polygon OG at this point, Kix.
Facts.
Moving on to the weather report, Kix. Let's get cooking.
Yeah, easy. That was a great read, by the way, and I'll streamline your data top to bottom any day of the week. Here we go. Wednesday, April 17th. ETH market volume coming in 17.8 million. Solana, 7.8. Come on, salami kids. Ordinals volume 19.8. That includes BRC20s, though. So let's be real. NFT market leaders on Ethereum. Worldwide wetland is up 50% to 0.32. In Azure Games, the hopeful is up 15% to 1.4. Over on Solana, Milady derivative collection, remixelated soul babies are up 250% to 2.6 soul. I love the drugs the kids are doing these days. Parcel down another 25% to 2.8 soul. They had a token generation event recently. Finally, on Ordinals, ALU, which minted yesterday for 0.004 BTC, did a 10X and sits at a 0.04 BTC. You had to do a phone interview with the guy to mint it. That's dedication. Bitcoin wizards are also up 50% to 0.29 on the back of their wizard token, leading BRC20s in volume. If you like some of the TV shows I like, you know wizards never die. Crypto roundup, majors chop as we see a third straight day of small Bitcoin outflows. Crypto hurting a little bit. Bitcoin below 63, ETH low 3,000, Solana 130s. Many meme coins did well, with Solana tokens Shark Cat and Boded both up over 35%. Ethereum token Trump gained 25% on the back of former campaign strategist Roger Stone getting behind the meme coin. Roger knows how to hit the nene, and let's see if he knows how to pick meme coins as well. Over the past 24 hours, MemeLand announced RSIC's RuneCoin as the first token to launch on their StakeLand launchpad. Users can stake meme or participate in quests to farm RuneCoin. Over the last 24 hours, RSIC is up 30% to 0.078, and Meme is even at a 1.8 billion fully diluted market cap. Quickly looking over at Tensor, season 3 fee rebates coming in for those referring users you bring into them. They sent out a total of 1,600 SOL worth of fee rebates to 1,100 users. I'm sorry, Easy got a little some of that. With the top referrer earning almost 150 SOL, their recently launched Tensor token is currently sitting at an $800 million fully diluted market cap. Venture capital fund A16Z raised a total of 7.2 billion to be distributed into several investment buckets. 3.8 allocated for its growth fund, 2.8 earmarked for seed and early stage AI funds, and a little tiny $600 million set aside for gaming. But hey, us gamers, we like that. $600 million, not bad, right? Anyways, that's it for us. Back to you in the studio.
Fantastic weather report as usual, Kix. Great to hear A16Z back at it. They're not going to be, they're not going to waver based on what happened last crypto cycle. Hell no, they'll be back at it.
These guys, if anything, they go in harder, right? When like everybody, they're getting this $600 million. They're like, everyone move out of the way, go to the next fads. We're going to get our money in good.
Yeah, we're about to deploy. Anyway, look, some updates from the Daily Bone newsletter. It's emailed to anyone that subscribes at dailybones.com. First story, father of meme, ticker FOMO token launches today on Base after a $15 million raise in 1 hour during its presale. Next story, big story, Coinbase adds Solana DEX integration, allowing users to trade Solana tokens directly on Coinbase wallet. Love to see Coinbase continuing to plow forward. Mike Dudas co-signed this one, said that they've just been cooking. Clemente, it looked like you wanted to say something, but maybe not. I'm incorrect. Next story, Yuga Gaming announces Kodamara Fusion is taking place April 18th, in which Mara will evolve into a constrained version of a Coda. Codas hold steady at 0.85 Ethereum. We will see if the market is excited about this.
That's how I feel holding these. Very constrained. Constipated.
Worth it.
Down 97%. Maybe more, actually. It may be more closer to 99 at this point. But what's 2% really matter? 97, 99 is kind of the same thing at the end of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, Codas came out the gate at a $100,000 floor about 2 years ago. Anyway, the once prominent NFT collection, Cool Man's Universe, has done a 3X from 0.02 Ethereum to 0.06 Ethereum after announcing Wall Street Wasteland, which will be powered by the Cool token. So dropping a ticker Cool, COOL. We will have to see what the result is of that. Trying to, you know, do a crypto, you know, take a crypto angle and drop a token. A lot of people tell you to drop a token, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure a lot of people told Cool Man Coffee Dan to drop a token.
He hasn't been around. Like, he's just back now. He's like, yo, hey, Cool token, we're back, baby. Let's go.
I'm sorry, Rio sounded like Donald Trump kind of there. He's like, there's a lot of people saying out there, drop a token. I'm sure they got a lot of advice.
What are the odds they dropped us on base?
99.8.
It's got to be pretty high, right? Like, they're just gonna be like, yeah. I mean, we've seen the Doodle coin from Poopy on base. We've seen Satoshi's coin on base.
They almost got invested in by Disney, so you got to think this is gonna do well. Right,
so like that was, you know, like, was it just like some guy getting lunch with the janitor at Disney, or was
they had a meeting with Disney and he mentioned that?
Was the guy's name Jeff Disney, or was it like Disney?
Yeah, it was definitely not a local office. You know,
but we never hear about the heirs of Disney. I never hear about like Steve Disney or anything like that. It's not like the Walmart family or anything.
They're all communists. They're busy doing communist things. They're not productive members of society.
Oh. Well, Kix was saying Clemente was saying this guy hasn't been around. He's been taking calls with people that are telling him to launch a token. Clemente, I'm sure, because that's literally what happens when you have an NFT project. Clemente,
how much did they? I feel like I remember they dropped like $2 or $3 million on that NFT NYC party in 2022. It was wild. Yeah. They threw just a banger.
Million into Cool Cats?
No, this is Cool Man's Universe. I need to get the exact, I'll pull it up, but yeah.
Well, I never thought that multi, like, seven-figure parties, I'll peel back the curtain. Our NFT NYC party this year was like $30,000. And that was half of what the first NFT NYC party at Mr. Purple was. And because Mr. Purple was like $60,000. And I was like appalled. I was like, no, that's so much money.
You go to one of our parties, you want an extra straw. Pio's going to charge you for that. And he doesn't give a shit about the turtles. He cares about the bottom line.
No, we do open bar at the parties. You never pay for drinks at our parties. And we covered coat check, which apparently not everybody did.
That's insane. Dude. That's a deal.
But no food. Not a single person was like, I really wish that there was food here. Like, well, why didn't you guys have food at the spot? Like, open bar is what you need to do.
Where were the chicken sliders?
Exactly. No one's asking about the skewers. You saw the episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where Larry David stabs Ben Stiller in the eye with the skewers. That shit's dangerous. Anyway, moving on. Clemente?
Spoiler alert, dude. I just started watching it this week.
Okay, smoke a little of the devil's lettuce. You'll forget that part.
Dude said spoiler alert, like the show hasn't been out for 20 years. Like, dude.
I'm on season two.
Exactly. Rare phone call coming in during the morning show, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry for you, those of you that are listening on Twitter. The front desk in my building called. I don't know why. Anyway, first story to dive into. Memeland announces that RSIC's RuneCoin will be the Stakeland platform's first launchpad token. Users can complete quests and or buy and stake meme token, ticker meme, to earn RuneCoin. As a result of the announcement, RSICs rallied 30% to 0.078 Bitcoins, while all Memeland assets held steady. Memeland captains, lower price than Milady's right now. Kind of wild to me. Easy, I saw that you posted you staked more meme and did the quests. What was the experience like? What returns are you expecting here?
So I'm not expecting like a crazy return on this, But when I saw them come out with Arsic, which is like one of the most anticipated runes, the speculation on Arsic being it's like the first decentralized one because it won't be by Casey Rotomer, and it was like kind of the first to the game. I was like, oh, they just signed like arguably the biggest upcoming rune onto Stakeland, and they're getting 2% of the token supply that will be given back to Memecoin stakers. So what my thesis here was like similar to like what I did with Blur when Blur's first unlock happened. I was like, they're not just going to make this token worthless. Memecoin's essentially been down only for an extended period of time, much like the wider market. So I was like, okay, I'm going to take a flyer position on this. And I threw half an ETH in. I was like, I'm going to start with half an ETH. I'll start DCAing into this some more. I'm not terribly worried about positive or negative price action. I mean, over the last, what's today, the 17th? Over the last 6 days, it's down from 4 cents to 2.5 cents. So a pretty substantial decline across the wider market. And I was like, if anything, this feels like a decent buy opportunity to start getting exposure to Meme in hopes that it bounces back. We've heard rumblings of some other organizations launching on Stakeland as well. And with Ray and 9gag being behind Memeland, it wouldn't shock me if we saw more and more solid tokens launched on this. And it seems that Stakeland's going into play here as like a token launchpad play. The quests were wicked easy. It was like, follow the Twitter, follow this other Twitter. It's a marketing play. It's a marketing tactic. You did have to post a tweet, but I posted it and immediately deleted it and even commented at the top of it, like, I'm deleting this in 30 seconds. And it gave me the exact number of stakes for the quests as I would earn in one full week of staking. So a pretty solid return on that. You like value-wise return. If I can even get 0.1 ETH USD return on this, I'm happy. A 20% return on my initial investment off this token, I'd be totally content. I wouldn't be upset at all, even the slightest. Cut my cost basis down, and realistically, I'd buy more Meme to put into this. My whole thought is like, we're going to get more tokens. We're going to get better tokens on this as well. We've already got a home run for the first one, and it's a pretty low effort play by just buying staking. And when they announce these token partnerships, doing the quests. So it's like many of these questing and social media platforms that we see to help gain followers. And I'm like, yeah, this seems like a solid return and a solid bet to make here, knowing that Memeland is not going anywhere.
Clemente? Easy. Were you concerned about, we saw Arsic, a rune coin pump, 20 to 25% back up to 0.08 Bitcoin. Memeland didn't move. Captains didn't move. Potatoes didn't move. Did that concern you at all? And I'm curious what your thoughts are on that.
No, people are saying ETH NFTs are dead. So like even ERC meme coins, no one's really trading them. Meme coin mania right now is entirely on Base and Sol. And that runes this weekend on Bitcoin is going to probably be the big winner. But my thought is also like, I've talked to a bunch of Bitcoin people. I didn't set up a full node. I have no intention to do so. It takes 5 days to synchronize it. So if you're trying to do it now, you're already too late. And I get rune exposure by doing this. So I'm zagging while everyone zigs to try to set up a rune and compete using the CLI, the command line, which so many of these people have never done before. I'm like, dude, you're going to burn Bitcoin. You're going to lose money trying to front run some of this stuff. I'm totally content to just get alternative exposure to the token with minimal clicks. I literally don't have to do anything. I can just hang out. Like, that's the thing right now. I just get exposure. I get a portion of this, and then I can trade runes on secondary markets versus trying to do all this node stuff. I'm like, this feels like I can go to where no one's looking, which is ETH, and get exposure to runes. Like, no one's looking at ETH.
And Kicks, you find that amusing?
No, I'm just thinking in my head. I know like some of these people that are like in Ordles and shit like this, and just like thinking of these people like setting up a node so that they can like front run mempool stuff. It's like if you heard like a bunch of people being like, dude, I'm getting into like mev botting, man. Have you heard there's like people making money mev botting? I'm going to make my own mev bot and like try to outcompete. It's just funny to me.
People who get into Warhammer and just paint the little figures. It takes forever. It sounds like a personal hobby. I have no interest in doing this. Like, my time is better spent instead of buying like a Lenovo notebook and trying to set up a node on it and pray that I don't blue screen of death and burn 2 Bitcoin.
Well, there you go. Clemente, was there something else you wanted to ask?
Yeah, I'm only, to be honest, easy. I was more interested in the actual NFT. It is more liquid, obviously, but like when I look at Captains and Potatoes, for example, like Captains have over 7 ETH worth of meme coin allocated to it. And I think that's, dude, I thought Captains were going to hit 10 ETH in April and I couldn't have been more off just because ETH NFTs are a disaster. But like, if you predict and you go ahead and you're like, okay, for the next 5 or 6 months, if this is, if Runecoin is the first launch that
Stakeland does, and they continue to line up like partnership after partnership, that has to be bullish for captains. That has to be bullish for meme coin. The only thing for captains, which is why I understand why you bought meme coin, is I don't understand the emission schedule. And I think there's a lack of clarity there, and also gas included in that, in the cost of you potentially buying a captain. But yeah, I like the buy, Easy. I think it's a fantastic buy for meme coin, and we'll see how this launch pad model kind of plays out.
Last thing on this is the Memeland ecosystem right now not, you know, like lighting the world on fire compared to something like Milady's? Is that because basically the broader crypto market, they want things that are like incredibly shitty right now, like really real, like it has to be horrendous. And like the fact that like this is a real business and everything, the market's like, nah, I think I'm good. Is that why? Yeah.
Did you see what pumped last night? It's on its way to flip Bored Ape Kennel Club. I'll share very quickly. But Bored Ape Yoga Club right now is.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, you don't have to share the image. We know what it is. Yeah, so like basically.
Is this self-sucking? Or?
Yes, yes.
That's been around for a while.
Yeah, yeah. They're up 1,300%.
Tropo Farmer. Yeah, I can see it, man.
Well, there you go. Moving on to crypto, and I want to dig in with this, you know, with Kicks. So Beanie, who is an NFT influencer, but nonetheless a crypto OG of sorts and a veteran of the ICO era. He has very interesting commentary, generally speaking. He's not always right, but he has interesting commentary on what's going on in the market. He talked about the state of the L1 versus L2 market in crypto, saying alts are back to early December levels. Next stop is out October. That means lower, ladies and gentlemen, which is a 50% haircut from here. And that's when I'm going to get greedy. So he's talking about getting greedy when others are fearful. Luke Martin tweeted about the 2024 stats on the top 50 coins, and only 6 out of 50 of them are outperforming Bitcoin. 40% are now negative in 2024. No L1s or DeFi are outperforming Bitcoin. The 6 coins beating Bitcoin, real quick, Kicks, can you guess any of them?
Doge, SHIB. Yep. STX.
Oh, get out of here. You're looking at the call sheet. No, you're cheating. Get out of here.
MNT.
All right. Anyway, it's Doge.
Wow, that was spot on.
Shiba Inu, Stax, BNB, MNT, RNDR. So given all the data, so Clemente's saying, Clemente, you wrote this question right here? You wrote this question?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, this is a Clemente question right here. Given all the data, is the smart play to sit on Bitcoin here and wait for more blood before buying any altcoins? That's a Clemente question right here.
Ray wrote that, actually. Ray wrote that.
Oh, okay. Ray wrote that. I thought
why do you think it's me? Is it because it's that a mid-curve question to ask?
No, it's I don't do the whole mid-curve thing. I just
it sounds more like a college professor kind of English literature like question.
I'd like to hear from Easy on this and then Kicks about what do you make of this? Because I do think those statistics are fantastic. I'm assuming Ray grabbed those statistics, Clemente, right? Fantastic statistics right there from Ray. Only 6 out of 50 are outperforming BTC. Great tweet to grab for the call sheet here. But so Easy, I mean, we have a Bitcoin ETF, we have 11 of them and more to be approved immediately, not only in the United States, but in Hong Kong. And we have the Bitcoin halving, and we have people building things on Bitcoin in a way that they have basically never done. When Trevor was on the show the other day, I brought up Satoshi Nakamoto, Hal Finney, Casey Rodemore. Trevor wasn't willing to go right there on the technical side of Bitcoin and crown Casey as the third name. But what do you make of this, Easy? As someone that just bought a ton of Sol and obviously has been long sold, the trade of your life was buying Sol from the bottom of $8 until literally this week. So it's still happening. What do you make of this thought here about Bitcoin versus anything else?
I mean, it makes sense. Like, you got to think too, like Bitcoin dominance is still showing a ton of strength. Mm-hmm. And the ETH BTC pair largely does look like it may have bottomed here, which is where I'm more interested. Like, now that everyone's talking about how Bitcoin's outpaced everything, I want alts. I want more alts. I want more exposure to alts. I want derivative of alts. Like, I looked at what Coinbase has started listing. Jito, Tensor, Shadow, Solana alts and dApps tokens on Sol. That's where I almost want to start getting more exposure because of this heavy sell-off we just saw. So, like, why would I not be looking now when the majority of the market's like, oh, I should have just held Bitcoin. I should have just held Bitcoin. We have runes coming, which is going to cause like a massive gas situation on Bitcoin, which I think is bullish for Bitcoin's price action. And of course, Bitcoin being the leader tends to drive higher, but Bitcoin's even chopping in this range right now versus the larger market sell-off with alts bleeding much heavier. And that tends to happen. But the thing is, when Bitcoin dominance gets to like that 60, 65, 70%, you do tend to see a serious alt cycle that catches up and drops that dominance back down to like 50, 55 as we continue to see legs up. So it does rotate, but like if the market right now is completely looking at Bitcoin and saying Bitcoin was the trade all along, I want to pivot elsewhere and look kind of some other places. I'm like, okay, perfect. So now I want to get more alt exposure. I still think AVAX is going to 100. I still think we're going to continue to see other runs on some of these things. Like I've been buying more NEAR recently. I have pivoted pretty heavily out of like the Cosmos ecosystem at the moment, just because that's been lagging like terribly, like, which is really annoying to me.
Right? Easy.
Yeah. Celestia and Say. I still like Say here, but Celestia has really pissed me off. Like this one was basically a break even trade after being up 2x.
And this was because
my timeline anymore though.
You stake it supposedly to get additional airdrops, and that wasn't really delivered.
Easy. People nobody said the same thing about it, Dim, dude. I faded that.
Nobody airdrops shit to Celestia. And the worst part is it's 21 days to unstake it. So like you're just sitting there on your hands praying the price doesn't collapse and hoping that it keeps rallying hard. So I was just like, I'm going to start using this money to get exposure elsewhere. Still buying AVAX, buying NEAR. I like SUI here, SUI. As well.
Sweet.
Yeah. So I like that. I think this has some legs to get up to like the $3 range, which I'd be pretty happy about. Nice candle today too.
It's living at $1.25, huh? So people that were like early SWE people, they went hard.
Very, very. There are some unlocks this summer that have me a little worried about it, and we'll have to see how that pans out because it is still an early coin. It's not even a year old yet. And that's where I'm like trying to find like what's going to be the winner from the altcoin side of these really early coins, because the ones, if you can find just one, like a shotgun approach on some of these with lower capital, one of them is going to have that quote Solana moment where it goes to $50, $60, $70 just on a tear. And that's where I'm like, sweet, this makes sense. Like that's where I'm a little bit more interested, to be honest. But yeah, I think obviously Bitcoin is the leader. I don't think you fade Bitcoin. I think runes are going to continue to rally here. But if everyone's posting about how Bitcoin was the trade, it's time to start looking elsewhere.
Kicks, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, like, first of all, what Luke is saying is true, but that's also because if you look at 2024, you're completely like pulling alt season out of the data pool, which was October, November, December. So like, of course, if you pull out all of the gains from that period of time, and then you're going to see Bitcoin outperforming. But like, if you bought Prime at $2 in August, you're up 9x. You're up 14x at the peak, right? So, I mean, there's strong alts that are still, if you were longing them in October and November, up considerably more than Bitcoin. But, like, this is what alts are. Like, alts are, you can have very volatile moves up, but, like, the farther you zoom out, right, the more likely that, like, holding one of the top five coins was the better play, right? And a lot of people get sucked in to try to catch, like, these insane moves on alts, and they end up like round tripping, right? So, I mean, my belief is you gotta get in at good prices on alts. So, like what Easy's saying right now is a lot of these things have retraced back to October, November. So, you have like the same setup, or you're getting close to the same setup of October, November. There may be more bleeding, you may need more time, but alts are now getting to the price where you can see those explosive 3, 4, 5x moves up. But when they make those moves, you gotta sell. But, like, the reason why there's so much money to be made in crypto is because people don't want 3 or 4 X's. They want 10, 20, 50, 100 X's, and they become the bag holders. But, you know, like things like Arbitrum, right? Like I bought Arbitrum at 110 and I sold it at 140 and I felt like an idiot when it went to $2, and now it's back to 110 again, right? And I feel less like an idiot. And now it's like, okay, that.
But now you don't want to buy. Like that, the market doesn't want to buy now. And it's like, okay. Maybe it's time to buy if people are like, oh, we're going lower. Timeline sentiment is like my favorite indicator when everyone's like, oh, this sell-off's going to get uglier. Macro conditions are getting worse. The narrative I've had for the last 365 days hasn't changed, even remotely. Like I had said, Q3 last year seemed like the bottom. Had been buying pretty heavily. And I said, going into the election, I think we just continue to rally. And like, you get 30% drawdowns in bull markets. It's what happens. Nothing goes up only in a parabolic move forever. And you need pullbacks to go higher because it resets funding for those that are leveraging. On top of this, we have the most capital on the sidelines we've ever had in the history of ever with the Bitcoin ETFs. Like, there hasn't been days where we've gotten $500 million of inflow into Bitcoin from traditional finance ever. And that to me is like, you're really going to sit here and think that traditional finance is going to lose money? Like, they're going to lose money. Yeah. Like, don't be dumb.
And like, let's be like real too. I mean, like, Bitcoin's at like 62 grand. It's like down like 10-15% from high. So like, if you think like this hurts now, like imagine if Bitcoin went to 50K, like the timeline would be projectile vomiting. Like, you know what I mean? And that's still on Bitcoin. That's still like just a 30% or a 40% move down. I always think back, like when we're in situations like these, I think back to May of 2021, when like Ethereum and Bitcoin retraced like 70% in a bull run. It wasn't even like a 30% pullback, right? Like ETH went to like 4,200 and then like down to, what was it, like the 2000 range or something like that. Like, it was absolutely brutal to be in the majors. Yeah, it went up above 4K and it bottomed at like 1800. So it was like a 60% pullback. Like that absolutely stung. So, I mean, I think the thing is, like with alts, like I think you got to put your trading hat on a little bit more. Like, you know, I bought Ronin. I sold some Ronin at $2. I sold some Ronin at $3. I wish I had sold some at $4 because it was at $4 multiple times and I was just too lazy to sell. So then I just sold some more when it went back to $3. But like, you got to take profits on alts. But I mean, that's, alts is where you can make like the crazy quick money. And I don't think that this cycle is like kaput or done, but like also too many people are trying, like they think that, like, you know, we've been through like how many Bitcoin cycles, PO? 4?
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't been through 40. Right. So like, people think that they have like a sample size of 40 and they're like trying to think everything's going to be the exact same when there's massively different things now, like there's ETFs, there's actual ETFs, right?
Well, so all
like,
the cycles have been different. They're none have been identical. They rhyme. Right. They don't repeat themselves. They rhyme, but they're still very unique. Last one, if you look at the last cycles, insanely unique. Anyway, go ahead.
And that's where people, I think, get faked out. They, you know, they get faked out because they assume it's going to be the same as last cycle and they make all of these, you know, trades based on that. But dude, this is a fucking pullback, man. And I mean, the thing is, when you look at previous cycles, you can't even see the pullbacks because they look so small. Right. But like, there's plenty of bull run pullbacks. Yeah, we're all poorer than 3 weeks ago, but like, welcome to crypto.
Look at that 2018 to 2022 cycle. And by the way, we're having Nathaniel Whitmore on the show tomorrow, and I'm going to actually really dig in with him about previous cycles versus this one, what he thinks about last cycle, and the role that bad actors like Three Arrows Capital, FTX, you know, the Celsius, the names kind of go on, like what sort of impact they actually had. Also, what impact capital going to NFTs versus Bitcoin and other fungible tokens, the impact that had. Quickly, Easy and Kix kind of touched on something, which is like this whole take profits mentality when it comes to altcoins. So what about, like, so for example, Easy, you have this colossal Solana bag and it's like your highest conviction asset. It's the thing that has kind of put you in the position that you're in now, buying it at the literal bottom when no one else wanted to touch it, holding it till now. Have you had any take profits moments along the way with Solana? Have you sold any Solana? Is he frozen?
He's a little frozen, but if you want to hear my trading history in Solana, I bought 4K more at $200 and I sold 3K at 140. So
you're talking about last cycle?
No, recently. Yeah.
Okay. You did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's interesting. What I was going to bring up, I'm surprised that Easy's frozen. That's a very rare internet issue with Easy. Something must be going down in Miami.
I think he pulled the Ethernet cord when you asked him if he sold any Solana.
What's up, champ? Dude, I have no idea what just went down. That was weird. All of a sudden, the whole stream just froze. No, I mean, my take profit moment for Sol, I've said I don't even plan to start scaling out in any capacity until all-time high, which was...
Sure. Okay, and so you sold none.
Done. I'm still buying.
Exactly. You're still buying. You just bought a big, you just had a big buy the other day when we pulled back to what, 125?
129.4 was where I got filled on the buy order.
Cool. There you go. So and check Solana it out.
Is already hit all-time highs in market cap.
Based on market cap for sure, but it's still the psychological number that you have to look at because on the timeline, they don't give a shit about market cap. Market cap's never mattered in a bull run.
Correct.
We saw SHIB go to what, $40 billion?
Okay. So classic. So you have this incredibly high level of conviction in Solana, right? And obviously I have high conviction in Solana too. I have, you know, a significant amount of Solana myself. But you talked about the mentality of like taking profits. If you take the odds of you having the same amount of Solana in the future, if you take any sort of profits at any point and actually sell Solana is very unlikely. Like yeah. Basically once you start selling it, the idea that long-term you're going to have more is very, very unrealistic. If you look at Bitcoin, for example, the king, the number one asset, but the unproven asset, if you're talking about 10 years ago and people just thinking, oh my God, I have to sell this thing. This thing went from $1 to $100. I have to sell this thing. And then obviously when you kind of look back on it, selling Bitcoin at $100, I think a lot of people could, you know, would agree with me that it turned out to not be a good idea considering now it's over $60,000, right? What do you think about the likelihood of Solana ending up going to $3,000 over the next 8 years or something like that? Oh, you don't think that's possible?
I don't think it goes to 3,000. Like
that's throughout a random big number throughout a long time horizon.
Yeah, for sure. But like, there's still things with Sol where like speaking to people who understand it much better than me as well, who are like, yeah, I think we end up reaching a point where the token's still inflationary. You need to figure out ways to make it deflationary to actually combat that. I do think we see much higher than last cycle just because of the way that the token's structured. But longer term and longer time horizon, I think Sol can end up finding a place where it trades basically flat. Like it can find that median where it's trading at a quote fair value because those fees are still one of the biggest things that make retail like interested. And if you get to $1,000 Sol, now that fee price is $10 instead of 0.03 of a penny. You know what I mean? So that's where like there's actually some concerns for me. Because I like the chain for retail use. I like the chain for the adoption aspects of it and the way that consumers can leverage it. And that's where like you reach certain price points where that no longer becomes the case. And my whole trading mentality has always been like finding new things that I've built theses around. Whereas like with Bitcoin, the thesis has never changed since its inception. You know, and like I hold Bitcoin. I think at the moment I currently hold a singular Bitcoin that I'm comfortable just sitting on. Plus like the trading wallet that I have for ordinals and runes and some other stuff that I plan on like trying to compound. But my next play, like after Sol, where I have this level of conviction, I'm positive I'll find one because there's always tokens that come out that start to build theses around them. And I'd prefer to move that there to find that potential upside. Like it's not every time you get a literal 20X in one calendar year on a major. And that's kind of what we just saw with Sol.
Yeah.
And that was a conviction play where like my thesis on the FTX collapse was nothing's changed. Literally nothing has changed. And if anything, there's no longer the ability to call this a VC overhang on a token because that's now being traded OTC with lockups extending over 4 years. So I completely agree. Like my end goal isn't to end up with more Solana in 10 years. My end goal is to end up with a balance in a bank account that has me never needing to worry about anything.
And that was the next thing I was going to talk about. So you're operating with the baseline being fiat currency. You're like, all right, well, if I buy this Solana and I sell it at X number of price, you know, that gap, I'm measuring that in US dollars and fiat currency, and I'm going to treat that as the baseline, right? I'm focused on the bank account number going up. But with currency debasement happening, no matter who the president is, whether Trump, Biden, doesn't matter. And then for the next election still doesn't matter. Is there any thought in your mind that your baseline should actually be Bitcoin because that's what it's for and your profit should roll into Bitcoin instead over the long term, right? Because it's just like you can't outperform the S&P 500 over 25 years or whatever. It's very unrealistic. Anyone's going to be able to outperform Bitcoin over 25 years. So isn't it more interesting to have that be the baseline?
I'll absolutely move some into Bitcoin and continue to get exposure there because like, I think in my lifetime, I'll see it one Bitcoin equal $1 million. And people think that that's like, some people think that's crazy. I know you don't.
Stick around for like 9 years and as long as you can make it that long, buddy. Yeah.
Like that's why I'm like, yeah, there will be some that moves into that. But until I can start spending my Bitcoin on day-to-day transactions, it becomes a little bit more difficult. Like, yes, you do have currency debasement of the dollar. But the dollar is still what you need to recognize to actually purchase things in the US. You still can't even take out loans and establish credit through assets on chain, which is like still a big overhang when it comes to doing other things outside of the crypto space. If you wanted to buy commercial real estate, if you wanted to buy rental properties, if you wanted to do anything that traditional finance deems as, quote, making it, or even just dumping it into treasury bonds to earn an 8% yield on or a 10% yield. And actually, like, that's what I think a lot of people still overlook. Like, you put $1 million into one of those at a 10% yield, you're hanging out, man. You're making enough money that if you live the way that I'm still currently living, I wouldn't really have to do much, you know, and I'd be perfectly content just on that return, that APY. So that's kind of how I look at it. I'm like, which ways can I structure this so that I can have multiple verticals coming in where I don't have to worry about much, if anything, and still be able to stack Bitcoin in this case and keep a pretty substantial bag to take swings at investments, VC rounds, other things that become more interesting once you get to a certain bankroll point.
Sure. And real quick, so Clemente, we're not going to do the gold bit today, if that's okay. We'll do it tomorrow with Nathaniel because he's going to have way more insight when it comes to gold, obviously. Last thing on this, Easy, understand what you're talking about. You made a comment. You said something like, live the way that I live. I think that implies that you're not living with extravagant means, right? You're not. Yeah, exactly, right?
Like, dude, I don't have a car. I don't buy much for myself. Like, I enjoy my computer screen.
Exactly. If you look at Bitcoin's price with four-year intervals, right? If you go 4 years back, we're at the COVID dump. That's $3,000. Right now, it's $60,000. If you go 4 years before the COVID dump, you're at sub like $1,000. Clemente might be able to pull it up. It might be like $600. Do you not think, like, if you're living reasonably, imagine if you just, if everyone listening to this show, if they just had been saving their life savings in Bitcoin from March 2020, 4 years ago, COVID dump, don't you think that they'd be satisfied looking at Bitcoin at 60K now versus getting interest on treasury bills? Do you kind of see the point I'm making?
Oh, and
their mental health would probably be better too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I totally understand. The thing though is, like, there is still inherent risk for drawdowns. Like, look at the January 22 drawdown. Imagine your life savings in this balance running from 60K all the way down to, what are we sitting there, 16? You just watched your entire life savings dip into a 75% dip, you know? And like, that is a pretty big swing. Like, us being crypto native are way more comfortable with that. Trying to tell somebody who's been doing an IRA for 60 years that they should pivot into Bitcoin and then having it drop 75% over 6 months is going to be a tough pill to swallow.
But that wasn't the first drawdown. And it there's been bigger ones. So it's like, you know, it's coming.
But there's also ways that you can try to diversify. And that's what I'm like kind of preaching here is, like, I totally agree with you. And I think that establishing DCAs on Bitcoin, literally even still right now, is not a bad move. But on top of that, there's other ways that you can leverage capital and, like, quote, a traditional means that you can take credit out on and establish assets underneath you that you can use to compound, whether it's taking loans out against them, whether it's doing a bunch of tax positive things for yourself to help offset capital gains that do inevitably happen. Because, like, still at the end of the day, you can't buy a house in Bitcoin just yet. You know, like, there's some applications that let you and there's some platforms that are starting to let you. But until you can start doing things like that, it's still difficult to store 100% in there, even though you can, quote, get it off now relatively quickly. But even like off ramping, like, dude, if I put 200 grand into Coinbase and try to send it to my debit card immediately with instant transfer, the account gets flagged and then it's locked for anywhere from 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, you'd obviously have to plan if you want to make a big purchase, like you're pointing out a house, you'd have to plan to gradually convert the Bitcoin into US dollars and pull it out. You know, last thing that we'll talk about on this, and then I want to go to this Coinbase adding support to trade 50,000 Solana coins and see what you guys think about that. But last thing on this is, you brought up taxes. I mean, when you're taking profits on all these coins, there's taxes involved. Obviously, you live in a tax advantaged state, Florida, but you still have to pay some degree of tax. When you think about just accumulating Bitcoin and not selling it for years at a time, you're dodging all of that, right? And the math, look, man, when you really dig into the math, just pointing it out, like, when you're taking profits, especially if you're doing short term, which a lot of people are doing under 1 year, I mean, that's income tax, man. And I know in crypto, people literally, Thread Guy tweeted the other day that people dunked on him for, quote, paying taxes, which is just, so funny. But the people dunking on him are broke, so it doesn't matter. They don't, there's no taxes for they're not making money. They're literally losing money.
This was my first year, my first full year paying taxes as a complete Florida resident, not with like a split. Because last year, which, dude, I made more money last year and paid less in taxes. And I was like, how is this even possible?
This
makes no sense at all. And I'm a very heavy short-term capital gains recognizer. Like,
yeah.
I own it, dude. I'm happy to pay my taxes. My accountant gets a great check every year. And that's the thing is, like, I'm comfortable paying that, and I actually account for it in a lot of the trades. But like the same time, I think you are spot on. Like, you look at the Bitcoin situation, and a long-term cap gains on that in a capital efficient situation is tough to beat. But the thing is, it's like no market goes up only. And you've even said it. Like, so if you are navigating the market,
it does go up only over 4-year intervals.
Yes. But a counter argument to that is, what if I sell that Bitcoin after 2 years, still recognize long-term cap gains, and buy Bitcoin in a bear and keep cycling? You know, bear markets are going to happen. So like, there's opportunities countless times. Every cycle we've seen a low that you could have purchased Bitcoin cheaper than you sold it for.
Absolutely. And if you selling Bitcoin results in you having more Bitcoin over a long period of time, all the power to you. I just don't know how likely that actually is. Otherwise, we'd have a lot more rich boys on crypto Twitter right now, let me tell you. Anyway, versus gambling addicts. Anyway, Coinbase has added support to trade 50,000 Solana coins directly in Coinbase wallet. This is the old wallet, not the new smart wallet that has yet to be released. Very, very good distinction there, Clemente. There have been many who posted the thesis for base meme coins, being that Coinbase will onboard retail. Everybody's favorite thing is the idea of onboarding retail to gambling degeneracy via crypto coins. Seems likely via their wallets, and they will buy base tokens. With this update, quote, retail will be exposed to Solana natively in their wallet. The girl ordering coffee in Soho is going to start degenerately gambling Solana meme coins. That's exactly what everybody that works in the fashion industry is going to do. Anyway, do we think that this is really going to have a major impact? I mean, I love to see the Coinbase technology development as a Coinbase shareholder. Absolutely love to see that. I don't know if I buy this whole, your grandmother's going to be a degenerate gambler and she's going to be longing meme coins. But anyway, I'd love to know what we think about this. Go ahead.
Yo, Casey, you see that Barack Obama won that time?
Yeah. Trump versus political. Pia's going to be running for office. He's just warming up the muscle memory right now. But yeah, I mean, I posted a couple of weeks ago, and I basically said, because there was this thesis a couple of weeks ago that basically, like, just buy base coins, whatever base coins there are, because Coinbase is going to get everybody on base. And therefore, that's the only thing they're ever going to be able to buy. And so just like long base coins. And I was like basically saying, I'm not bearish base coins. There's a lot of good ones. Sure. Right. But just to me, the logic that like Coinbase was going to like bridge people to like get people on chain for the first time. And then they were going to be like stuck in the base zoo and never be able to go anywhere else. Just was such an absurd take to me. And I got a decent amount of pushback because people are like, oh, you just don't get it. Da, 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 da. And then look what we see, like Coinbase, literally the people building Base are like, now you can buy anything you want on Solana, right? And it's like, that was kind of the point I was making, is that, trust me, getting more people on chain is a massive achievement. And that's a very net good thing. But that's good for everything on chain. And this like tribalism stuff of like, oh, you should only buy the things over here because, you know, that's the only thing that makes sense and no one's going to go anywhere else, is just an absurd take. And I don't even think that aligns with Coinbase's ethos, right? Like Coinbase's ethos is like making democratic access to everybody and let them have whatever they want, right? But that's still bullish for base tokens. Once again, I'm not saying like whatever is the prominent Uniswap equivalent on base is going to be very successful if they onboard a bunch of people there. But like this premise that like Coinbase is going to be like, let's decentralize and let people get on. But then as soon as they get on, we're only going to let them be on base. We're not going to let them go anywhere else, was just a little bit of an absurd take to me. And I think Coinbase releasing this kind of shows that their ethos is more aligned with what I was saying.
And I want to hear what Easy thinks about this, but yeah, Coinbase's ethos is not that normal people are going to become, again, gambling addicts on random crypto tokens that eventually go to zero. It's hard to get actual Web 2 gambling addicts into crypto. Like, I know a guy that has a crippling gambling addiction when it comes to sports betting. And I've told him before, like this guy's got an addiction, right? I told him, I was like, dude, you ought to bring that addiction over to crypto, because it will be more lucrative, like no question. You know, DraftKings is sending this guy signed jerseys and stuff. They don't do that unless you're literally just dumping money into their app and having it go to zero. This guy's not in on degenerate gambling of crypto coins. You're going to get your grandmother to degenerately gamble crypto coins. The Coinbase thesis is that there's a new financial system that is actually better than the old one. But that's not a gambling angle. That's an investing angle, right? So anyway, Easy, what do you think of the crypto coins being added to Coinbase Wallet? I do think it's tremendously interesting. How do you think that this plays out?
I think it's huge. I think it's very, very like substantial, to be honest. Like, it just streamlines the process. Any way to make it easier for people to get involved with kind of the hot narrative, or when they see people making an absurd amount of money. It's like, yeah, this, you know, makes sense. Makes total sense here. Why would you not want the gamblers to be able to have frictionless opportunities? And I think that's what it provides. So creating like a DEX for people through the wallet to be able to swap into their favorite coins and see what some other degenerate is trading and get exposure to. Just once again, I think this shows that Solana is very retail friendly and very retail native. And I think it's a win for Sol. I think it's a win for Coinbase. And I think to Kix's point, it makes a lot of sense. Like, they're not being just base agnostic, which a lot of people speculated on.
I think the most like bullish thing for me with like Solana is when we saw the PUPs BRC20 pre-Rune, whatever you want to call it, whatever lingo you like, going to Solana, and then it like they bridged it to Solana, then it pumped to the absolute moon. I was like, if anything, this shows like how bullish Solana is, right? That like the biggest BRC20 pump we saw in the past 2 months was because they bridged over to Solana so that everybody could easily buy, sell, and trade it. So I think Solana has clearly established itself as the like leader for, you know, fast moving trades, lots of action. Base definitely has established itself, at least in the short term, as like a strong second contender. But yeah.
A friend of mine that's really smart said that he was concerned about, now that Coinbase has Base and if a lot of people are using it, Coinbase is like, you know, monopolizing crypto to some capacity. And I understand why he said that. But my response immediately was like, there's a lot of competition, dude. Right? I mean, like, it's this is not like, oh, Coinbase is about to sweep the legs out from the rest of the market. There's still a brutal level of competition for this. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, and Coinbase doesn't want that either. Coinbase doesn't want to be like the centralized, like, we control the entire crypto market. Like, that's not what they're trying to be either. They want like a diverse ecosystem. It's better for them from multiple angles.
Absolutely. Any thoughts on that, Easy or anybody?
No, it makes sense to be like, the diverse stuff just makes sense. Like, don't overthink it. Cast a wide net.
Don't overthink it. One token, the Farcaster native tipping coin, DGEN, ticker DGEN, that launched their own L3. It's got $1 billion market cap. What do we think of that token?
It's down literally from its all-time high. It's down over 60%. I don't know. It's hard for me to make a call on this. It doesn't.
I had multiple people when it was at like 0.005, right? So still like a 6x up from these levels. Multiple people were telling me to like buy this coin. Basically, they said it's like a synthetic play to be bullish on Farcaster. And they were right. They were absolutely right. It did a 10x from those levels. People really like this coin. And now it has its own L3, which is super cool. Yeah, it's definitely not easy to buy it. I'm not buying it when people were telling me to buy it 6x ago. That's a tough pill for me to swallow, especially when it's at like a $340 million market cap. But that was a great trade. And to people's point that were like, get long coins on Base, they were 100% right. I mean, on the strong coins, they did massive numbers. DGEN crushed it. Friend Pet crushed it. A lot of these things crush it. So once again, not bearish on Base, super bullish on Base. I'm just bearish on this like protect my bags at all cost logic, which is like, oh, just buy things on Base because like that's all anything's ever going to happen. And it's the only way that it has to happen because this is the way that it's going to pump my bags because I'm all in only on Base. That kind of stuff I push back against. But I mean, dude, DGEN was a hell of a trade. And a lot of people got in on that and made a fatty baggy. And a lot of the meme coins did well on Base as well, like, you know, like Bald and all that other stuff. But yeah, hell of a trade.
Yeah, I mean, $1 billion market cap, right? So I just pulled it up right here. Robinhood, the company I used to work at, has a $15 billion market cap. So you got this one coin, DGEN, which, by the way, is not even officially released by like Farcaster or right? I mean, It's not even an official coin representing the org, like the protocol, is 1/15th of a company that's been around for like 12 years and is kind of a household name when it comes to like apps in the app store. It's like a top 50 app, I'm assuming. Might be a top 10 app. I don't even know. Top 15 or something like that. And then Clemente, you brought up two more coins. We're not going to analyze them because I think that's like a waste of time. But you brought up Brett, which is Pepe's best friend. That has a $610 million market cap, over a half a billion dollars right there, right? And you see D's and other people that have been in and out of this thing talking about it. Look at this. It is a funny picture. Go ahead.
Pio, the only thing I'll say is like Brett, all of these being at such a high market cap honestly makes me more bullish on Blast. Like Blast.
So bullish on Blast, dude. So bullish on Blast, 500,
like Brett being at 500 million to me is like, oh, like Pac-Moon is at what, like 20 million or 50 million fully diluted, whatever it is right now. It's dipped slightly, but I'm like, oh.
So that means a half a billion dollar Pac-Moon is kind of programmed, is it not? I mean, like, what are we doing if it's not?
I mean, dude,
like,
give me 200 million. That's a 4X.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need a 10X. I'm totally cool. Give me 150 million on the 3X. I'm content. Like, I'm not looking for much here, just honest work.
And the next one that Clemente brought up is Toshi, which is Brian Armstrong, the CEO of Coinbase's cat. Do we even have confirmation that that's the cat's actual name?
No one knows, but it's provocative. It gets Toshi? People going.
What are the odds that the bald American white guy, Brian Armstrong, named his cat Toshi? Does he have a cat? Like, what are the odds the guy even has a cat?
I mean, I'm going to give it to him. I bet it's Toshi.
Satoshi.
I just realized that too. That makes a lot of sense.
I thought it was actually based on the SBF Bitcoin to Japan trade called the Toshi trade. And he was just a huge fan of it.
I'm sure. But anyway, the point I'm making is that Toshi coin has $175 million market cap. What I was going to point out is, spoiler alert, all of this liquidity, the $610 million market cap for Brett, the $175 million for Toshi, it's got to go somewhere else, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going to be a seven-year run from here where it's like, yeah, it's consolidating at $610 million market cap, just won't go lower. It's going to go to zero. So where is that going to go? What, right? Like, go ahead, Kix.
I think the funniest thing for me is that I remember like when Pepe was like taking off, like, you know, this time last year, right? Like a lot of people talked about like meme coins and they're like, there's like no execution risk, right? It's just like a meme coin. Like, you don't have to worry about like the team fumbling the bag or anything like this. Like, fast forward to today and you look at all these coins, not all of them, but a lot of them, especially the top ones. And they have teams. They have like marketing budgets. They're doing like collaborations. They're launching L3s and all of these things. It's like completely invalidated this whole premise that like meme coins are just this like, you know, decentralized for the people thing, and there's no execution risk or anything like that. And it's just like a complete 180. And I get why people were saying that, because it was like counterculture to the whole NFT 2021 cycle, which was like very team roadmap orientated, right? But like meme coins have now like fallen into the exact same thing. I just learned about another coin, $500 million market cap. They have an entire team behind it that launched one of the biggest NFTs in 2021. So it's like, I don't know. I don't trade a lot of meme coins. I'm not negative on meme coins at all. I think people have made a lot of money and have a lot of fun trading them. By all means, go have it. I just think it's ironic that meme coins have become the exact thing that people last year were saying that they got into meme coins because they were not this thing. And now they're becoming this thing, which they are becoming full-on teams with roadmaps, with marketing, with budgets, with roadmaps, launching chains, trying to get dApps on their chains. It's the exact same thing now. It's just funny irony to me.
1,000%. It's just how the market goes, and people just are basically looking to gamble and have the price go up so that there's some sort of delta there and they can take a profit and roll it into something else. If there's anything that I've realized, it's not even that people want free money. They just want free gambling ammunition. They just want a little bit of runway to gamble again. That's really what it is. It's not free money. It's not like, oh, I've accumulated wealth and now my life is different. It's like, nah, let me take another swing. Clemente?
Well, and then take another swing up until you get to a spot where you have wealth, I guess would be the other way of saying it.
Yeah, but nobody ever gets
it. Then it's when do you take the...
It's never enough for people. Problem. It's like they hit the 100K and now they move the slider to 500K and then they move the slider to 1 million. And then so many people, I love it. They're like, 1 million's not enough, man. You really need to get to $10 million. And it's like, first of all, the hurdle that you have to go through in crypto to go from like $1 million to $10 million is not like just like a drop in the bucket. And I think there's probably more people that round trip $1 million bags than actually take $1 million to $10 million.
Of course, guess what?
Newsflash, $1 million is a lot of fucking money. You can go pay taxes on it. You can go put a down payment on a house or go put it into the S&P 500 or whatever and still have 100 and 200K left over to do it all again in crypto. And that's like the thing that no one actually talks about is like actually change your life, set yourself up for a little bit more security in life. And then if you're so good at crypto, run the 200K bag you have left back up to $1 million again. And then you can say, oh, I'm going to run the $1 million to 10.
Yeah, if they just, you're talking about the S&P, if they just put it into Bitcoin and never sell it ever,
exactly.
Generations are like, how did he do it? How did he get, like, oh my God, how is he that rich? It's just wild that people don't understand that. Brian Brickman, very talented artist, weighed in with a comment. He said, everything's going to funnel back into 2021 art NFTs, right? Right. The answer is no. But at the same time, I was thinking about this the other day. And the early NFTs from 2021, I do believe will have this crazy long-term value that's going to take so long to get there. And what I think about is like, how long is it going to take for them to literally go to zero? And how long do they stay at zero? Or how close do they get to zero? So check it out. So shout out to CoinBilly. My guy CoinBilly gave me this, which is the small statue from Invisible Friends, right? I don't really, I don't collect these sort of collectibles.
Mine back there.
The Easy's got one too. Very, very cool. I see it right here. This thing is very, 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 very cool. Okay. This is a very dope piece right here. Invisible Friends NFT collection, though, obviously has had its issues over time. And I don't think that anybody is really thinking that there's going to be some parabolic run on it from here in a traditional NFT way. However, I could see a situation where in like 30 years, in 35 years, people looking back at the early digital collectibles climate and ecosystem, they find a project like Invisible Friends and they're like, oh, wow, that was incredibly hype. They were doing like basically when there's like documentaries of people remembering the 2021 NFT craze and phenomenon in like 20, 25, 30 years. I know it sounds like a lot, but 30 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, is like the early 1990s. And we're watching documentaries about Michael Jordan playing basketball from them now. And it's not that long, right? That's when I could see that happen. But the game is like, well, how low does Invisible Friends go? How close to zero does it go? And then how long does it stay there? And then, you know, where does it kind of go from there? So that's the
collectible side. I think with like Ethereum art NFTs in specific, PO, like specifically, like the reason why I don't think they're seeing a ton of inflows or like, you know, maybe historical ETH NFTs as well are not seeing a ton of inflows is because last cycle, ETH maxis got substantially rich. Like the bottom of ETH was like $100, $200 and it ran to 4K. So that's a 20 to 40X. And then we had ETH NFT bull run, right? So like ETH maxis in the aggregate made a ton of money last cycle, right? And they're gonna have a ton of money to roll into these things versus this cycle. What's actually happened on ETH, right? Like ETH has done a 3X, which is not terrible, but like it's done a 3X. It hasn't done a 20X. And also ETH NFTs haven't done well, right? So like that cohort of people haven't made a ton of money to be able to then go buy these things. Like the people that are bullish on the things have to get substantially richer to then want to allocate more money into the things that they believe in, right? And I don't think that has really happened for the ETH market versus you look at Solana and it's like Solana is kind of the ETH factor of this cycle, at least so far, which is the people that bought the bottom of Solana at $10 or $20, got substantially rich. And then what did they do? They bought Mad Lads or they bought, Jupe and stuff like that, right? So I think it could be just that simple effect at play.
And you're talking about the short term, like talking about like for this cycle, right?
For
and
this cycle, yeah.
Yeah, Brian weighed in with another comment. He's, trying to make a distinction between PFPs and fine art, which was a distinction that was hammered last cycle by a lot of people. Look, they're all NFTs, right? It's all some sort of collectability. A Picasso is kind of the same as like a Michael Jordan rookie card. How much it costs is different. The angle, the flavor of collector, it's kind of the same. It's a physical object that people think is important because of the, you know, the provenance associated with it for one way or another. Kind of the same thing. An early Disney action figure or a Marvel toy is the same as a Van Gogh painting. It's just, it's a different flavor, but it's still ice cream. You know what I mean?
Saying X copies like the next Van Gogh.
No, I wasn't saying that.
I like Jack Butcher, though. I could see his stuff.
If X copy died tomorrow, there's more of a shot. And look, ladies, I'm not trying to be rude, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just pointing out that at the end of the day, you know, the value of an artist that's no longer with us versus a living one. Go ask George Kondo, very talented living artist, about that. Anyway, that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We went over today. Not supposed to do that. Supposed to keep it at 10 a.m. Every minute is, you know, it's a lot of energy to do what we do, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, we do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time, each and every week, every Monday through Friday. This show's happening. It's available on Apple and Spotify podcasts, on YouTube, on Twitter Spaces. It's available everywhere. Check out Kix's gaming enterprise, Tilt Yard. You know he's crushing it. I'm sure that there's going to be some kick-ass updates coming soon. Check out tiltyard.gg. Love having Kix on the show. Anyway, we're going to wrap here. Catch you guys tomorrow.